So when you say we can talk to animals, you think everyone can talk to animals? Or were you...
Yes.
Is it a God gift that you've been given?
Not at all. God's gift is for everyone. I wouldn't say that it's God's. God's have chosen one or two of us. It's literally every one of us. Like, we have five senses. The animals have those senses as well. And just as we experience life using these five sensory, the animals pick up from those senses and use these to communicate with us.
So when you're talking to them, like, is it like a conversation? How does it work?
It can be a conversation. It can be a one-word answer. It can be a two-word thing also.
Just for the benefit of the audience, if you would just like to say, what do you need if you have to talk to an animal? If somebody contacts you to...
Just the intention that you want to talk to an animal. Simple.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's show. Today, we are talking to somebody who can talk to animals and plants. Do you believe animals have a soul or plants have a soul? Let's find out today. Hi, Sonali. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Prachi, for having me.
So, Sonali, tell us about yourself. What do you do?
Well, like you said, I talk to animals. And it's something which, it's like a long cherished dream because we all have seen Dr. Dolittle and the adventures that Dr. Dolittle has. And it's something which I always was fascinated with. However, I wasn't aware that this can be a reality and that we all can do this. So I ventured into this only because of my pet. As all of us get to know about this kind of a thing exists only because of our pets. And that's how I ventured into this. It's been 8.5 years now that I have been communicating with animals, all kinds, literally. Right from an amoeba, a single cell, to a blue whale that is the biggest mammal on earth, so we can communicate with anyone and literally anything, including plants or landscapes, that plant that's right behind you. We can talk to everything. Everything is so alive. So this is something which really interested me, and it happened because of one of my pets, and I got to know about this animal communication, and I ventured into it. It was never thought of. My reason was only to get into this so I could talk to her. However, a lot of my friends and colleagues started giving my references to others. And that's how it began. So I would say it's not that I chose this. The animals chose me to become their voice. And that's how it all started. And it's been beautiful 8.5 years. And I was a full-time employee. There were so many consults, so many people who wanted to get into this or wanted to learn or wanted to even simply have a conversation or get to know about their own pets. And I said, if I have to really, tear myself apart with work and with this, I chose definitely to have a conversation with animals. So that's how my journey began. And it's been beautiful. And I am still learning. Every little conversation we have is such perspective shifting. So, yes, that's just a bit about me.
So when you say we can talk to animals, you think everyone can talk to animals? Or were you,
yes.
Is it a God gift that you've been given?
Not at all. God's gift is for everyone. I wouldn't say that it's God's. God's have chosen one or two of us. It's literally every one of us. Like, we have five senses. The animals have those senses as well. And just as we experience life using these five sensory, the animals pick up from those senses and use these to communicate with us. So how we see something, hear something, taste, or feel something also internally, all of these external faculties have an internal reference. So using these internal references is how animals will communicate with us. It could also be a thought transference. Like, I may have thought of something and you think of the same thing, and we say, oh, you know what? This is telepathy. But this is also what happens with animals. They instantly transfer their thoughts amongst within us. We can do the same thing to them. They don't need grammar. They don't need sentences. The thoughts are enough. They pick up on our energies, the vibes, and our thoughts. They're always tuned in. And we also tune into each other. So the most common thing I can tell you is how when two people are closely connected or bonded, you always read each other's thoughts, or you always know a certain vibe. They may be, you know, let's say miles away or in two different continents, and you will still get to know if there's something missing with this person or there is something that's troubling them. And you will pick up that vibe and you would say, let me give a call to this person, check if everything is okay with them. And that's how telepathy works. So we all experience this at various levels. We also call it, oh, this is telepathy. I was just thinking about you, or I just thought about it and you stole my words. This is also telepathy. So we all are gifted. If I have to use that word, then we all are gifted. There isn't anybody who's singled out saying you can't do this. Everyone can.
So when you're talking to them, like, is it like a conversation? How does it work?
It can be a conversation. It can be a one word answer. It can be a two words thing also. And it's like what I ask. Yeah. Say it again.
No, I'm saying, do you hear them or is it more visual?
Like I said, depending on which of your sensories is more stronger, they will start first conversing with you using that. Okay. Like I said, we have these five senses. So with these five senses, if I have to give you an example, let's say someone who's an artist. Okay. Someone who's an artist likes to see things visually. They would like to draw or sketch or paint and see how it looks, right? Whereas someone, let's say an exact opposite, who's an athlete, who's more physically active, involves himself or herself in all kinds of sports or let's say anything that will involve them moving their bodies in some way or the other. So that person will be more kinesthetically active as well. Someone whom we call as good listeners. They speak less, but they hear, they listen to you very well, right? So their auditory is really high. They pick up on every little thing and they can empathize in all of it. So depending on which of your sensories is more heightened, they will choose to either give you visuals or give you an auditory response, like you will actually hear a voice in your internal ear. And they usually use your own voice to communicate with you. And it can also be a bodily feeling. For example, if I ask an animal, my dear animal, how are you feeling today? And if there is any kind of aches and pains that this animal is experiencing, I will instantly, not even a second it will take for me to experience that. And the moment I've acknowledged, okay, I understand this, it goes away back. It doesn't stay with us. So the animal will take it back to them. It's only for us to know that you asked me this. I'm showing you where it's paining for me exactly, and I'm taking it back with me. That's how even physical responses come in. So if I'm a visual person, the animal already has tapped into me and understood that Sonali will understand it if I give her visuals. So the animal will give me visuals. Okay. However, having said this, what I have also learned or experienced is, depending on what is being asked and what answer is coming towards me, the animal will choose the best way to communicate. If the animal feels that if I show her, it will be better versus if I tell her, this will make more sense to her or to my human, then it makes more sense to use a different sensory also. So basis what has been asked and shared. At the same time, what I realized is a lot of times as we continue practicing more and more, our senses start to balance. Like if I am that artist and if I'm more of a visual person, I'm looking for visuals. In that case, the animal will share initially visuals itself. However, where the animal feels now it's time for her to listen more and hear more, it'll start giving me audio responses also. And I can also ask the animal, show me what you see. And ask them to literally show me rather than describe what you see. When I say describe, it is going to choose an auditory response. Is going to speak to me and give me dialogue. So I can do this. Eventually, your senses start to balance. It's not where only your visual is more predominantly used or only auditory is predominantly used. All of these senses start to balance itself. Mainly when it comes to olfactory or gustatory comes in when it is about food. When you ask them what's your favorite food, what do you like to eat, how does it taste according to you? And then they'll also manifest that taste or smell so that you can get that reference and you can share it with the human. So literally they can choose any of these senses and eventually it balances out. So yeah, to each their own, but at the same time, we comprehend the way they think is right for us to understand.
Okay. Because I have seen you talk to animals and you talk to them like probably you're talking to me right now. Okay, like you are the Dr. Doolittle. So how long did it take you to get to this stage?
It wasn't long at all. It just happened. I learned from the best. Her name is Manjiri Latte from Earthwise. She's also based in Pune. And I remember clearly that she said the more you have these barriers or the more you assume about certain things, that if I talk to an animal, will they respond this way or that way? Don't give them these options. Just ask them the question and allow them to share it with you. And be open to whichever responses and whichever ways you're getting it. Just share it with the human and you'll see how what a wonderful conversation it is. So I literally just surrendered to what she said. I followed her blindly. I said, okay, I'm going to do this exactly as she says. And that's where the shift happened. So from the first time itself that I communicated with her animal in the workshop that I did, there was literally no looking back. I enjoyed that conversation so much that I couldn't wait to speak to the others. I couldn't wait to come home and start talking to my own. That's how the shifts happen. So just surrender to them and they will have. And see, besides that, what? How else are you going to talk to them? See, they're, especially with pets, they are so a part of human lives, of our lives. They understand us. They understand our lifestyles. They understand our perspectives also. And they are responding to us even physically, let alone telepathically, but they are also responding to us the way we train them, the way we ask them to sit, stand, roll, don't do this, don't do that, be a good boy, or you know, your food is served, come over, all of this that we train them, they're already so tuned into us. So they are understanding of us. They've already understood our ways. And how else will you talk to them? We look at them as family, isn't it? So just the way I will talk to, let's say, a sibling or a parent or a partner, a child, I'll talk to the animal in the same way. So the more we also accept their essence, their being, that they are also an individual, rather than treating them, oh, my baby, oh, my Shona, instead of all of this, if we actually start communicating with them as a being, and with that respect, if we have a conversation with them, it's an absolute adult conversation that we call. They will give you that kind of guidance. They will give you all kinds of responses or all kinds of answers that you're seeking when it comes to various aspects of their lives, or how you could make it better for coexistence, or you know, even when it comes to your life responses or life questions, they can actually guide you on literally everything. So it's actually like you know, talking to a best friend. Yeah. So you could sometimes be funny and have all kinds of funny questions. They can crack a joke also. They can play pranks on you as well. And whereas when you need a patient ear to listen to, they're always there. They're otherwise also there. So that's how conversations are just as fun as you can make it or as serious as you can make it. It's just really up to you.
So the first time I got to know about this, like something like this even exists, was Jack, my little Jack Russell. He had a runaway and he had, he went away and we didn't know where he was, and he didn't come back home the next day and we were really worried. So we put it up on Facebook and everywhere if somebody has seen the dog. And then one of my friends, she said, do you want me to ask somebody, this lady, she knows, she can talk to animals and she can find out, because sometimes what happens, animals die, and at least it gives you closure because she can find out if, you know, if he's not coming back or, and I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it sounded so surreal. I was like, yeah, she can talk to animals. Like, what is that? And then, it never happened. I said, yes, please ask her or whatever. But then she never got around to talking to Jack, and Jack came home 3 days later. And I completely forgot about it. So, but then this time, like just to give the audience a bit of a background, after we have a Great Dane and he attacked a little dog. And that got us into a lot of trouble because we, the police were informed about it and we, and the drama that followed that. And then my sister has done a course with Sonali. So that's how, then I contacted my sister to see, can you just check with Joe, why does he attack dogs? And she's like, maybe ask Sonali because she is more, you know, good. She's better at it. And but because for me, that was like a life and death situation, because it was like, can we keep Joe, it was euthanasia or send him away, you know, something of that sort for us. So what was your turning point? Like, what made you aware that something like this even exists? Because the way we have been brought up, like modern education or even the world that we live in, like, we always think animals are just animals, you know, and no one can really talk. Like, Dr. Doolittle looks like a fairy tale, even if you have to talk about it.
Yeah, it does sound like a fairy tale. Rather, a figment of somebody's imagination is how it sounds like. Yes. But the moment you start talking, you know, it's not imagination. The animals really respond. Right. So my starting point was, like I said, one of my pets, because of whom. So to give you a bit of a background, I never had pets. Like, you know, in a typical Indian household, in a lot of ways, you can't have a pet right now. Once you get married, you do whatever you want. You're not getting a pet in my house. Do it in your house. But I was waiting for a cat or a dog or some kind of an animal in the house, but my mom never really allowed me. So one fine day, I think when I was 26 or 27 years old, I just couldn't wait anymore. And I got this little bunny at home. And she was supposed to be someone else's pet, my friend's pet. And her mother said the same thing to her, "You're not getting her home." And I did not have the heart to leave her back in the cage we picked her up from. And I said, "I'm taking her home." And that's how she came in my life. So the moment she came in my life, my perspectives changed. Suddenly, the loud noises became too loud because she would get scared. And whatever she would like, or how can we make the house environment also conducive for this little bunny to grow in and thrive in, is how everyone became focused on her. And within 2 days, my mother, who did not like animals, suddenly had a shift and a change of heart and a complete makeover as far as her personality is also concerned, where she's then named her as Ruby because of her eyes. The bunny had ruby eyes, and that's how we called her Ruby. But so she was with us for good 7.5 years. And and with her, I've traveled everywhere. She's been with us all through the time. In fact, we used to take road trips only because Ruby could come with us. So that was how important she became. And at a later point of time in her life, she had a cancerous tumor, which refused to slow down. We started her on chemo and everything. Fortunately, chemotherapy for animals was introduced at that point of time. And I told the veterinary, let's do anything and everything possible for her. But as a bunny, operation was ruled out because bunnies, can't survive anesthesia a lot of times. And plus, she was in her senior years as well. So our doctor suggested this. However, during the last moments of her life, I was traveling for work. And my father had called me a day before saying, "You may want to start soon because she's really, it's like the last resort. The veterinary has suggested we may have to operate on her, so you start coming home." And because it was late at night, I couldn't leave that time. But next morning, as soon as I left, by the time I reached home to be with her and to take her to the vet for the operation, before I reached, she had already passed away. And somehow, the moment I sat in the bus to start for home, the moment the bus started, within 20 minutes to half an hour, if I'm not wrong, I kind of got an intuitive feeling that Ruby has gone. And I was crying. And there was a passenger sitting next to me. A lady asked me, "Are you all right?" And I didn't even know how do I tell her that I'm crying, because my bunny is on the deathbed. And I have an intuition that she's, because not everybody understands love for animals, right? So I just said, "No, some things are serious at home. I'm just a little worried." But when I reached home, she really had passed away. So that intuitive feeling, one was that I was right. I got that intuition already. And I felt like she told me that I'm free now that way. However, this left me really brokenhearted, because I felt I was with her in every moment of her life. I couldn't be with her when she passed away. I wished I could tell her I loved her and you're important to me. You'll always be in my heart and I'll always love you. So many things I wanted to tell her, but I couldn't, because I didn't know how do I talk to them. How do I tell her now that she's gone? Plus, we're also told not to disturb them. Their journeys are, you know, once a person or an animal passes away, the soul has to move on its further journey in spirit world. But that nagging feeling that I want to talk to her one last time just wouldn't leave. So in all of that sadness, I started Googling, as everybody goes on Google and checks for any kind of an information. I checked if there is a way to talk to animals after they've moved on. That's where I found these links for telepathic animal communication. However, there was nothing that's coming up for India. So I searched telepathic animal communicators in India. And that's when Manjiri's name popped up, my mentor's. I called Manjiri, but the number was, I think, her office number, and she wasn't available on call that time. She was somewhere trekking in Himalayas, and her husband picked up and he said, okay, she would definitely schedule a consult for you once she's back. She's currently out. However, Sonali, how about you talking to Ruby yourself? And my first response was, "I'm not gifted. I don't know how to." And that's when he said, "It's not a gift, Sonali. You can learn if you would like." And that's when I had a conversation. "What do you mean? I'm not gifted. I don't meditate. I'm not so religious." And will it even work? That's when he said, let me share something about the workshop that she conducts. If it calls you out, you can go for it. And the moment I saw that email, I instantly replied, please reserve a spot for me, because if I could do it, why not?
Yeah.
And that thought never crossed my mind that let me first have her have a conversation with Ruby, and then maybe I will see if it really works, if it doesn't. For some reason, those doubts did not come into my mind. But yes, there were doubts when I started that, just a few days before the workshop, will I be able to do it? What if I can't? What if everybody else in the workshop can and only I'm single out and I can't do anything at all? But the moment my first conversation started was with her pet who had passed away. His name was Uno. And the moment I said hello to Uno and I started getting those conversations back from him, everything just suddenly became so calm in my mind. It's as if Uno gave me that healing. Like, relax, girl. Everything is fine. I'm talking to you. We are here. And from there onwards, there was no looking back. And then I couldn't wait to talk to Ruby. So she said, just hold your horses. We are going to talk to Ruby very soon. And that, I think the next day, the second day of the workshop is when we conversed with Ruby. So that's how my journey began. And in fact, during that workshop also, there were so many other participants in it. And I would go to everybody, give me a chance to talk, because it became really fun and interesting to know that there is so much that they can share with us.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how it began for me.
And what does Ruby share with you? Because I know, because I spoke with Ruby yesterday and it's been a while. So how, what do you think about, the spirit of the animals and their reincarnation? Will you always be able to talk to Ruby?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's what I understand. This is purely my perspective. Okay. When we are communicating with an animal who has moved on from physical to spirit world, it is the soul or it is the higher self of the animal we are connecting with. It is not the conscious. Like how you and I are talking is very much in the conscious mind. But if I have to talk to Ruby or any other animal, it is a subconscious mind, which is also very aware. Now, between us humans and the difference between humans and the animals is this gap between conscious and subconscious is very thin between these animals, is what I have realized. Whereas between us, we have so many layers of I want to do this. However, I need to think of A, B and C people in my family, or I also have to think about the society, what will they say? Based on so many factors, we take a decision or we think about our actions. What do I do next? What do I even say what I want to? All of these things are there. With animals, these filters are much lesser. They are more in present. We are the ones who think of a future or a thing of a past. We are always oscillating between past and future times. However, animals are more in present. Yeah. They are not thinking about where is my next meal coming from. Or they're not the ones who are thinking, oh, last yesterday, this person did this to me. Now when I cross paths with him again, this is what I'm going to show to him. This is us. This is humans, right? Animals are more in present. And that is where we are connecting with their higher self. And the higher self is always the one that knows everything. Why is this happening with me? Why am I having these kind of experiences in my life? Literally everything. And so when you connect with the higher self, and the higher self is a soul essence.
Yeah.
And if that is the part of the Alpha and Omega, you can always anytime plug into that and ask questions based on when you were Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you a question. So when I say, hello, Ruby, it is Ruby that connects with me. So she may have taken another birth, or I can ask her also, have you taken another birth? Is it okay for me to converse with you? They will tell you yes or no.
Okay.
So we always take permission first.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to have a conversation with you, Ruby. Can we talk now? And she'll say yes. 99.99% of the time, all the animals have said yes. It was only once that an animal said no.
Okay.
Only once. That is also because I wasn't ready. I wasn't in a space to listen to them. And I approached that animal with a certain bias that you were naughty. You shouldn't have done this. And for one entire week, I remember I had to literally manau that animal, that dog particularly. And the dog said, I'm not talking right now. So though he would converse with me, but every time I would go to that event, yeah, he would not say anything. And then later, as I built rapport, one fine day, suddenly he said, you know what? You asked me that question the other day. This is what really happened. And I was stunned. I didn't even ask you this question. How is it that you're talking about it? And that's when the animal says, today you are in a non-judgmental space. You're ready to listen to my perspective, so I'm sharing this with you. So that is how conversations happen with animals, yeah. So you can talk to them even if they have moved on. It's just a simple thing, like how we would call somebody and say, hey, do you have 5 minutes to talk? Yes, why not? And there has, like I said, 99.99% of the animals I've talked to in all these years have never said a no. They've always said, yes, let's talk. And they're good multitaskers, like how we had a conversation with yours. And both of them were in their own space. They wanted to move around. They wanted to sit around. They're welcome to do that. They're always telepathically conversing. They're experts at it already.
And how do you interact with plants? What does that involve?
So just the way we would talk to an animal, it is the same way. The questions could be different. The kind of, if we can use that term today, a lot of people call themselves, as just as we have pet parents, we have plant parents also who are very passionate about their plants, treat them as a part of the family, and that's right as well. So it could be about the well-being of the plant, or it could be where something is, like a mealybug has come in, or some kind of infestation, or there's a flowering plant but there are no flowers coming up. And they want to understand what's happening. It was flowering up until now. It's also the season, but it is just not flowering. What is happening with the plant? So the plants can also have guidance either for themselves that, it could be something with the soil. It could be something about the weather. It could be, oh, you shifted me here and now this space is not conducive for me. Could you please put me back into the original place? It could be literally any of these things. It can also be about what is happening in the family. And if the humans want any kind of guidance that, we are going through this phase, my dear plant, you're seeing what's happening today with us. What can you guide me on? And because they are more connected to the universe than we are, it's not that we are not, but we are so much into our practical lives, into just leading our 9-to-5, if I can use that, and chasing our goals and dreams. We seldom pause and think, what am I here for? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to do really? And that's where these, any element of nature, you take an animal or a plant, is more connected with the universal guidance, and they can guide us as well. So you can have a conversation with plants about anything, just as you can have a conversation with a pet. Maybe for a pet, you may ask, this is what I feed you. Are you happy with this? Do you want any changes in your food? For the plant, you can ask that, is the water adequate for you? Do you want me to water you once a day? Is that sufficient? Are your roots okay? Do you feel the soil has become too tight? Are you able to breathe through the soil also? You can ask about anything. You can simply give them love, if nothing else. If I have nothing to talk about, this is the way we did a send and receive love kind of an activity. The same thing can work for plants too. And they flourish beautifully when you give them love.
And has anyone ever contacted you to talk with a plant before, or a tree maybe before?
Yes, yes. They had a money plant at home. They had just one plant at home.
Okay.
It was in Mumbai, and they said the house we live in doesn't have a lot of natural, sunshine coming in. So we prefer something which can survive without sunshine. And so they had a money plant, which had grown really beautifully. And they wanted to converse with the plant, asking about their family members, how they saw the family also, whether it was aware that how much are they nurturing that one and only plant that they have. And a lot of guidance for, they had daughters. So what kind of future prospects, or rather what kind of, as guidance for bringing them up as well. How does a plant see the sisters? Does it look at as sisters or children? What does it view these two girls as? So lots of these kind of questions also come up when they get to know that you can talk to a plant. They send you all kinds of questions. All curiosity really comes up. And that's what makes the conversations interesting. So there was one of those cases. There was also one where a farmland needed assistance, but the humans probably needed some kind of assistance about their own. It was an orange orchard, if I'm not wrong. And it was a flourishing orchard for so long, but somehow they identified that the leaves had started to dry out. and everything was really fine. I mean, they said that we haven't changed anything. It is all really the formulas and everything is set, and we didn't know what's really happening. And that's the moment we connected with the plants, the entire land of the orange orchard. The orchard said that the roots are too tight. There is really, the soil has become too tight. All they need to do is just shift a little bit. Even if you shake those plants a little bit from the bottom and loosen the soil where it's holding the roots too tight, that's all that's needed, and we'll be able to absorb from the air also. And they did that. And then they said, Sonali, it's working beautifully. Mm-hmm. So it could be just a minor thing. The moment you ask, you have an answer and your solution is there already. So you can talk to plants also about everything and anything.
So you don't believe in this fact that that humans are the higher spirit then? Because like you have conversations with everything around you. Like you live in a different reality altogether. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, I think we are the ones who've created that bubble, that we are the most intelligent species on this earth, or probably even galaxies, because we haven't seen the others. But it's also coming from our mental space, or the way we view the world. See, we think that because I'm educated. See, our parameters also, even if you look at a comparison between one human to the other, it starts from school, no?
Yeah.
The grades, the percentage that this person or student A and student B. There is a comparative analysis all of this time. So that's also where we are looking at that, I have education. I understand how the world works. I understand how photosynthesis works. I understand plants. I understand how things are made. I understand science better. I can calculate. I can analyze. A dog can't analyze. A plant can't analyze. A squirrel doesn't know how to take decisions. It just goes around looking for food. That's all it knows. But where is the guidance coming for them? They know exactly where they're going to get the food. They know exactly when the sun is going to rise, like how the birds start to chirp. They don't need alarm clocks. We need alarm clocks. So it's just that the way we look at intelligence is so different. And we have certain standard parameters which we are not ready to let go of. If it fits in my parameters, only then I accept it. Everything else I can't accept because it's not fitting in my box of parameters. That's where I feel somewhere we have restricted, we have a tunnel vision, and hence we call ourselves spiritual, we call ourselves the intelligent species because we can travel to the moon and back or even further, right? Animals don't need that. They're, like I said, they're more in present. They may have simple lives, but the spiritual aspect of animals, I would definitely, is much higher than ours. And that's also why the most simplest example, which the world has also accepted, is that the dog gives you unconditional love purely because it sees you as its companion. And there is love only. They're not thinking, the minute ago you scolded me, I'm going to bite at you now. They don't do that. They would rather forgive you and let go of that past event and say, hey, you know what? You're happy to meet me now. Let's have fun. And they'll come wagging their tail at you. They'll be all lovey-dovey and lick you on your face or just pounce on you all over. You've seen all how these dogs respond. So I feel we are the ones who need to learn very hard ways to let go. We hold on to so many past events. But there are also examples of animals who have been badly abused. But the moment they have been rescued and they have come to a human which is not treating them like the other human who mistreated them, they are still ready to put their trust in them and faith in them, and they become different species, rather they become different animals. Like they must be skittish or scared. But the moment they come in contact with the rescuer, they start observing, and then they also show that they respond to the treatment that they are getting now. And they become absolutely positive and happy beings. So many Instagram stories that we see that a rescued animal had changed its personality completely. So they really can let go, whereas a lot of us humans are stuck in a lot of past events or the hurt someone has caused us. Or we're, like I said, you know, we're either oscillating between a past or a future event. They're more in present. And that's why I feel being in that moment, being in present moment, makes them more spiritual and aware. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. Do you ever get emotionally involved with the cases that come to you? Like, it must be difficult at times now.
I used to. And it was difficult then because, you know, especially in case of missing animals, let's say Jack for that matter. I'm sure you guys were all scared when Jack went away.
Yeah.
You must have thought of all kinds of worst case scenarios. And with the moment I would also get a missing animal case, or we've been looking for it for so long, we don't know what's happened. Of course, me also having, you know, 5 cats and a dog of my own, got into that zone that what if one of my went away? How would I feel? So the empathy was very high. But I also realized that because I'm empathizing so much, I would be clouded. Now, just imagine if I have to give a parallel to a human example. Let's say you and I are closest of friends. You come to me where you want to share something that happened with you personally, and it's a very bad thing that has happened. You want to share it with me and ask me for a solution. Whereas I, as your close friend, is listening, but also empathizing really highly. And also I'm saying, I understand what you're going through. In the process, you cry, I cry. Do you get a solution? Nothing. In the end, we just end up crying and just, you know, probably pacifying each other and supporting each other. Whereas you go home thinking, I didn't get a solution. So that's where I shifted that focus and said, if I'm getting involved, I know I'm feeling the human's emotions. But that's not my pet. It's someone else's pet right now. So let me focus on what the pet has to say and do that communication justice. Because the more I get emotionally involved in it, it is coloring, it is getting biased. The animals also project my thoughts onto me, saying, okay, you don't seem to be in a space where you can hear my version of it. You want me to tell you this? Okay, you tell my human the same thing. That's the kind of exchange that happens then. Because I am biased. So I have learned it the hard way. I have involved myself in certain cases, and I've seen that those kind of cases, not that I couldn't do justice to it, but I realized it sooner that it's really affecting me emotionally. I should remain detached. So the grounding, or just having this perspective that I am simply the medium. I am simply like the phone that's transmitting either a video or an audio response of each other. That started helping me, that, you know, I'm just a conduit. Let's focus on that. Take the parcel of information, pass it on to the respective human and be done with it. My job is done. Like I said, you know, when we were talking about this yesterday, look at yourself as a delivery boy or a delivery girl. You don't know what's in the package. You know where it has to be given. You just take that package from the source, deliver it to the destination. You wash your hands off. You're not attached to it. So that's the kind of perspective I brought myself consciously into. And that is when the grounding, of course, and this perspective helped to remain detached. So yes, that happened, but not anymore.
And were you ever able to rescue an animal in the sense, like, did while conversing, let's say an owner hired you, but then you got to know that the animal is being abused. Has that ever happened? Like, put you in a spot where you don't know what to do now?
It was something which I have worked on personally, because I was heavily into rescues before as well. I continue to rescue, but now that I've shifted to a different city as well, not heavily yet, but the area that I was living in, Bombay, when I was there first, I have been very active into animal rescues. So at a time, I remember I was also full-time working, and at the same time, I had ventured into this animal communication. One of my rescuer friends called me to say that she spotted a dog which is absolutely skin and bones. And she said, we need to rescue this dog and take it to a shelter. But, you know, it's near to your area. Will you be able to go? I said, yeah, I'll be home by 6 o'clock. After work, after that, I can definitely step out. I had no photograph of her, no reference. She just said that this is how the dog looks and it's all skinny. It's white and brown patches. Go and check. The moment you get it, I'll be sending the ambulance, animal ambulance, to pick up, and we're taking it to a shelter. So the moment I came home and I stepped out with the intention that I'm supposed to, look for this particular dog that rescuer friend has shared with me. I instantly connected with this pet, with this dog. It was a streety, actually. And the moment I connected, I started, I first of all informed that this is my intention, you know. You seem to be all skin and bones, and we're really concerned about you. And we're looking for you so we can take you to a better place where you'll be able to heal yourself. You'll come back to health and you'll be looked after all your life. Her first response was, I don't want to be rescued. And that is when there was a conflict. Because the rescuer in me said the animal is abused. It's not getting food. People are hitting it. Because see, when you see a street animal that's not in good shape, majority people will want to shoo it away. Yeah. They'll not want to give it shelter. They'll be like, you know, literally shooing away. Sometimes they throw stones or sticks or something or the other. But I was shocked at this response. And she said, this is my home. I am home. Where are you taking me? Don't take me. I said, okay, allow me to see you. Because I was also hell-bent on seeing where she is. Maybe I could feed her or do something. And I asked her, allow me to see where you are. Guide me towards you. And then she started sending me visuals of where she is. And I asked her, which direction do I take? I found her. I actually found her. And when she saw, when I went to her, she was coming down the slope. And she told me, wait over here, I'll come down. And I actually saw her coming down. And I called my rescuer friend saying, I found her. You can send the ambulance now. And I had not communicated this with her, but she said, I told you not to take me. This is my home. And the moment she came down that slope, she took a right turn and she went onto the very busy area, busy street. And I was scared there might be a vehicle that may hit her or there were shops, they may shoo her away. And that is exactly what was happening. Fortunately, she did not go into the traffic, but she did go close to those shop areas and whatnot and where everybody was shooing her away. And as I continued to have a conversation while she was walking away from me, I wasn't giving up. I was chasing her to, you know, make sure that she's taken to a good place. She went into a shack kind of a place, and that's also where I saw a man hit her. And it kind of felt like it's hitting me. And I retaliated. I spoke to him, rather I shouted at him that, you know, can't you see the position or the state she's in? How could you even do this? And in this entire process, the ambulance was already there. And I requested her, you know, please allow me to take you to this place. Trust me, it is for your good. Whatever, however you want, it will be taken care of. And while I was chasing her and looking for her, I was continuously in conversation with her. And that's also when I got to know that there is not just this abuse of not people giving her food, but there was a lot of all kinds of nonsense that was happening with her, which I'm not even comfortable sharing right now because it was that bad. And which is what got her skin and bones. And but eventually, the other rescuer had already come with the ambulance. So they grabbed her, took her to the shelter. The lady in the shelter was the most gentlest. She herself had been a paravet. And when she started treating, the other rescue friend called me to say, you know, next morning, could you just check on how she is? And when I checked on her, and the first thing she said is, thank you, though I didn't want to be here. But I'm glad here because this lady has been so beautiful with me and she's treating me so well. She showed me a visual of the blanket that she's been given so that she can be warm, that she was given a separate place from the other dog so nobody disturbs her. And I shared this with my friend and she shared it with the lady at the shelter. And they sent a picture of how she was kept. And that's exactly what she had shown me, that she's sleeping beautifully and peacefully on the blanket. There's water kept next to her and the bed is slightly higher so that nobody else can disturb her that way. So, yes, I've been involved into rescues. I've done live consults, not just for missing pets, but when I have been rescuing, even today when I'm going to go out to help another rescue, I continuously have that conversation. It's like as if I'm on a phone with that animal and I converse with them. It actually helps us a lot to track, to ask their perspectives. There have been animals who have also said, instead of taking me to the shelter, treat me on the streets. I live here. Can you come here and treat me here? That has happened too. So I feel telepathic communication has in fact assisted in rescues rather than just going around with the net or a grasper and the ambulance and chasing them. If you can have a conversation and strike a balance where the animal feels, okay, treat me here, I'll be here every day, instead of you taking me there, if that's a possibility, why not? Or the animals can also say that once you treat me, can you drop me back in this place? This is my home really. So, yeah, we can do that, no? So, it really, I feel that it assists more than anything.
And what all animals have you spoken to?
I've spoken to everything. I've spoken to a butterfly.
Yeah.
I've spoken to dogs and cats ample, with bunnies, with parakeets, with African greys, with our Indian parrots, then lovebirds, tortoise, wild ones also. I've spoken to horses, a couple of race horses as well, with tigers, with leopards, then with lions as well, elephants, yeah, crocodiles, literally everything. I mean, I don't think, even dolphins, I've communicated with dolphins, I've communicated with whales as well.
So you just do it for pleasure as well. Like, it's not always a mission. Like, if you see an animal, you want to talk to it.
No. Yeah. I mean, if I'm visiting some place and I find a beautiful bird there, I'd say, hey, you look pretty. Can we converse? And it can be that. See, Pune is blessed with a lot of hills. And I love to go on treks, or I love to go on just hikes. And on these hikes, there are so many around. There are peacocks aplenty on one of the hills. And I always tell them, I'm going to come and sit with you guys. Please don't mind me. Continue with your work. Because their cacophony of their conversations, when they even, you know, verbally give cues, is just so interesting and so peaceful. So I just go and sit on one of the hilltops and just be with them. Even that's beautiful. So conversations could be anything. So what do you do? What is it that I can hear you guys conversing? Would you mind sharing what this conversation is about? So just asking their perspectives, what their lives are like, or if they have a message for me, any guidance for my life. I ask all kinds of things, or sometimes just nothing, just blend in with them.
It's like you live in a parallel reality. It's so unbelievable, amazing.
In my head, I don't think it's parallel anymore. It's all just so blended and beautiful. It's like one fabric.
That's amazing. Just for the benefit of the audience, if you would just like to say, what do you need if you have to talk to an animal? If somebody contacts you to...
Just the intention that you want to talk to an animal. Simple. Nothing else is needed. Isn't it? I mean, what else do you need? You want to talk to an animal? Okay, sure. Let's talk. If the animals have it so simply, if they don't say, you need to qualify with 1, 2, 3 things only, then you talk to me. There is really nothing. As long as you have an intention that I want to understand my pet better, or my pet has been behaving certain way these days, it is not his regular behavior. In such a case, we can converse and ask, what's bothering the animal? Is it really some kind of botheration, or is it something else that's happening about the family that it's trying to bring its attention towards the family? It could be that. It could be health issues as well. Like, a lot of times, while the veterinary treatment is on, I always suggest that, you know, first you take the animal to the veterinary, because we are not diagnostics here. We are only communicating with the animal. But for the physical part, always, always go to the veterinary. They're the experts in that. So get the treatment started. We will have a conversation with the animal. So a lot of times communication helps the animals also assist the veterinary in saying that, okay, this is also paining for me, or this is also a problem I feel. So can you also help me medicines or treatment on this? Yeah. Or I feel so-and-so thing is happening with me. Can the veterinary check this area of me or this part of me? That happens too. So we can actually help the veterinary. Yeah. Assist them rather in the treatment. That's how I feel. So as long as there is an intention of wanting to know the animal, the treaty maybe that they're connected with, or it could be a rescue, it could be your own pet or a pet that has passed away. It could be a recent event, it could be a past event also. Any of these, that's all that's needed to really get in touch with an animal.
And you help a lot of people say goodbye to their pets as well when they are in the last moments of their life.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, they can do that too. There has been a lot of pet parents who are aware that my animal is now on its last, or it's about to transition, and now I have to say goodbye. How do I say this? So ideally, even if you actually don't need a communicator, you can have that conversation with them. They're always listening to you. They're always tuned into you. And that is where I feel, even if you do this sitting by their bedside, they're listening, they're acknowledging, and they're giving you all that love also. But if a communicator is needed, then of course they can reach out and we can share those. In fact, we can ask the animal also in such a case, what do you have to say to your human as a goodbye, or while it's sharing all of this to you, what do you feel about what they're saying? And they have messages for the humans also. So yes, in this case as well, for sure.
Okay. It's been so eye-opening and a real shift to a different reality talking to you. So tell us, Sonali, how can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram. It is talking.tales. Talking Tales is my handle. And there are a lot of cases that I've also put up what animals say, just for your information, you could browse through what the animals say, something very interesting, something that can be very deep about life, something as simple as I want my human to eat this because I know it's their favorite food and they've just been craving about it. That was a very recent case when the humans were apparently craving for some sandwiches and they're not eaten for some days because probably they were fasting or they were on a diet, I'm not sure. But the animal said, please tell her to eat it. She's just been thinking about sandwiches. Tell her to eat it. And the human laughed and she said, how does my dog know I'm thinking of sandwiches? I said, he's a part of your family. He's tuned into you, so they know it. So if you visit Talking Tales on Instagram, that's my handle. The same thing is on Instagram as well. So you can reach out to me on any of these. You can DM me if you need any consultation. So I do consults for all kinds of cases for animals, as well as I take workshops. The basic happens online and there is a residential workshop, which is an advanced level that happens at a resort close by. And of course, to go to the advanced one, you have to have basic and few practice with the animals. But yeah, you can always reach out to me on any of these platforms.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. It was lovely talking about what I do. So any question is always welcome. So thank you for having me. And it was a pleasure.